Hello, sick people.
Creating optimal health.
Small changes that can add up.
A workout that I can do pretty much anywhere.
Good for health.
We're taking control of our own health here at The Takeaway. Last week for our DIY checkup series, we talked about setting long-term health priorities.
And I think people who say that it's too difficult to simply exercise, not smoke, and have a diet based in fruits and vegetables are just using it as an excuse because it's really that simple.
Another priority is to get to the doctor to get a checkup. But one listener on thetakeaway.org asked, what if you haven't been to a doctor in years? Hugh Abbott says he hasn't been in 20 years. The big thing for me is phobia, he says. I tried making an appointment with my forcibly chosen primary care doctor under my health plan. The phone receptionist was so brusque, I couldn't get out what I needed, so no appointment. So how do you navigate the system to find the right primary care physician and the right specialist if you need one? Joining us now is Newsweek health reporter Kate Daly and Dr. Pauline Chen. Dr. Chen is a liver transplant and liver cancer surgeon. She also writes the doctor and patient column for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hello.
So, Kate, I don't know if you're surprised by this story from Hugh about not being to the doctor for 20 years because he's afraid and he gets turned off by the staff. But how do you even find that doctor?
Well, I think the doctor phobia is a big issue, and I think people put a lot of obstacles in front of getting to the doctor. But it is very complicated. It's like dating. You want to find someone you trust. You want to find someone you like. But luckily, it's the internet age, and just like dating, you can find a doctor over the internet now. It's a lot easier to go online to both find doctors that are in your network and find doctor reviews. There's a new site called ZocDoc, which is available in some major cities. You go and
that's ZocDoc.
ZocDoc.com. You put in your insurance information. You put in what kind of doctor you want. You put in where you are. And they show not only doctors in your area, but they show when they have appointment times.
I would imagine for somebody like you, Dr. Chen, that's kind of a scary proposition because you could, you know, somebody could have a bad experience with your receptionist and then go on ZocDoc and write a terrible review of you.
Absolutely. On the other hand, however, I think that it's really important for patients to also, you know, as a part of the team, as a part of the healthcare team, to also look into the background of their physicians, where they trained, whether they're specialty boarded, whether they belong to professional organizations. I think those are some indicators of the competency of the doctor you will see.
Dr. Chen, how much do you think this kind of relationship and building this trust affects people's healthcare outcomes?
Oh, it affects it completely and totally, in my opinion. You can have the most skilled physician, most well-trained physician in the world, but if that physician isn't listening to what you're saying or addressing your fears, you won't be getting the kind of care that you need. For instance, in my field, let's say in surgery, I can do a huge operation on a patient, but if I don't explain to that patient's satisfaction what he or she is supposed to do with the drain that I've left in his or her belly, there can be a whole host of complications that can occur. That relationship is incredibly important and central to the quality of care that you'll get.
One thing that is kind of distressing, Kate, is this statistic that race, ethnicity, accent, or English skills are found to be one of the top reasons why Latino patients don't have a regular primary physician. There's a cultural divide.
That's right. There's a big cultural divide, and that makes a big difference when you're going to get your care. I've spoken to people. We actually had an article from someone on our website who said, I am fluent in English. He was a Latino journalist. He said, English is not my first language, but I'm fluent in it. But I still don't feel comfortable if my doctor can't speak Spanish. Because think about it, that fine print, those medical terms, they're hard for everyone to understand. And you want that news, when it's about your health, to be delivered in the language that makes you feel the most comfortable.
3,000 Latino patients for every Latino doctor.
That's right. And while the number, the general Latino population in the United States has been multiplying at a rapid rate, the rate of Latinos in medical school has stayed stagnant at about 6%, which is pretty low. So that's a cause for concern. And it is something that if you have a doctor who speaks your language or who understands your cultural trends, may impact your care. There was a study from Johns Hopkins University that showed that patients are more likely to trust their doctor if that doctor comes from a similar background.
Have cultural issues come up for you, Dr. Chen?
Yes. I took care of a patient, a several patients, actually, who have had hepatitis B, which is very common in the Asian American population, and suffered from complications from that, the most potentially devastating being liver failure and liver cancer. And so in that context, I think it was helpful for the patients that I was aware that this was an issue for the Asian American community. That being said, I think the most important thing that you can probably do for yourself is find a doctor, and this goes for doctors, you know, be a doctor who listens to the individual.
I was just going to say, I think that's absolutely right. There was just a study that came out from Stanford that showed that if you had a physician that you trusted, if it was someone that you saw on a regular basis, the gaps between the quality of care for African-American and Hispanic patients compared to white patients, those gaps disappeared.
Okay, but here's a question for both of you, because there's a real difference between choosing a primary care physician and choosing a surgeon who's going to take care of you at some kind of illness or a surgery that you have to go through.
There have been a lot of studies that show that when it comes to picking a specialist, that brand names in effect kind of matter, that people have better outcomes, for instance, at a cancer treatment center, you know, at a hospital that advertises itself as a cancer treatment center, than just at their local general county hospital. There's also something that's growing in popularity now, the idea of team treatment, where you try to get all of your doctors on the same page working together. And so if you do need a specialist care, especially if it's something for some sort of ongoing treatment like cancer, that's something where you want to talk to your doctor about team treatment so that your radiologist is working with your oncologist, is working with your reconstructive surgeon.
I think Kate's point brings up two very interesting trends now in medicine. The first is a new type of practice that is developing in the United States. There are many pilot projects across the country called the patient-centered medical home. And it's a primary care practice that's based on a team with a primary care doctor as sort of the leader of the team and different healthcare professionals filling in the rest of the team. And what those teams can do is help to address the complete patient and all your needs. What those teams also do is help you to connect with other doctors, other specialists, people that you need that have services outside of the particular specialty of the primary care physician. And I think that kind of practice, which will probably become more and more popular and more common in the United States, is going to help all of us.
That sounds like two messages here that you can take away from this, at least, are be brave and do your homework. Kate Daly is the health reporter for Newsweek. Dr. Pauline Chen writes the doctor and patient column for a partner of the New York Times. She's also a liver transplant and liver cancer surgeon.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.